Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Mike.
You've got an unusual study that you picked for us today. It's unusual both in its content and it's sort of a mixed method. I mean, it's not a study that the reader's going to come away with some, you know, p-value or score or something. But I think for me it had a high value. It was published in the Annals of Internal Medicine in 2015. It starts on page 271. It addresses this issue of how do we improve care in the ICU? How do we dignify patients more? How do we give patients, families more of a voice and engage them more? And how do we keep clinicians focused on patients, not as specimens and objects, but as real people? Clearly, death rates in the ICU are variable depending on the hospital, depending on the person's illness and the overall health of the patient prior to their illness. And death in the ICU is not at all uncommon. Doctors and nurses and social workers are constantly looking for ways to improve the quality of life for people hospitalized and taking care of their family and perhaps even taking care of ourselves, because it can be really hard taking care of patients at the very end of their life. Lots of unexpected things, and it can be tough. A part of improving care at the end of life requires doing a better job of matching patients' desires to the medical care that we offered. The poem that you found comes from the Annals of Internal Medicine. It asks a very elegant question. Is there a way to ease the process of dying for patients in an ICU and decrease the consequences of that death on the patient's family members? Mark, what did they do?
Yeah, this was, like you said, a really nice study, and it's just shows the value of qualitative research and how it can help inform some of the really, truly important things that we do that aren't well captured by a traditional quantitative study, some of those relational things that we try to do for our patients. I remember rounding one of the things I would always throw at the residents periodically would be, you know, tell me one thing about this patient that has nothing to do with their medical treatment, you know, to see if they'd actually had any kind of meaningful contact. You know, they're a teacher or they coach a little league team or something like that. And it was remarkable to me how often they knew nothing other than their latest serum creatinine level. So I think that's something we can all work on. So, yeah, these researchers invited participation of consecutive patients in a single ICU, 40 of them, and their families. And these were people, those consecutive patients where either advanced life support was being withdrawn or who had what they estimated at least a 95% likelihood of dying in the ICU. So very terminally ill, very sick patients and families. Basically, they asked, they, quote, sensitively asked for at least three wishes from the patient's family members or clinicians caring for the patients on how to best honor the patient. Most of these wishes came from families. 82% of the patients had some degree of impaired consciousness. So, as I said, most of the wishes came from others. At least one family member from each family was interviewed between 1 and 6 months later, and at least three clinicians per patient were interviewed at least 1 to 2 weeks after the patient's death. And they coded these. What you do in a qualitative study is you record the interview, and then you code it. You try to develop themes that emerge from the conversations, and then you kind of circle back to, you know, once you listen to 4 or 5 conversations, maybe you identify some themes, you go back, you develop a coding system. So the authors defined three domains of the project: dignifying the patient, giving the family a voice, and fostering clinician compassion. The 5 categories of wishes, which I think were, you know, really the key outcome here, were first humanizing the environment, personal tributes to the patient, having reconnection among family members, rituals and observances for the family and patient, and some way of, quote, paying it forward, making, doing an organ donation, charity donation, trying to, creating a charity, trying to do something meaningful. And certainly, you know, that's been, you know, my experience. We lost our son 12 years ago, and we created meaning out of that experience by creating a charity in his memory. And so I certainly understand that desire to make something positive come out of what's, you know, ultimately a very negative experience. So the bottom line is personalizing death in an ICU by asking patients who are dying and their families to make three wishes can help you initiate that conversation, try to, you know, make sure that to the extent possible those wishes are addressed. Most of these were simple, inexpensive things, using the patient's nickname, allowing a mother to be in bed with her son as he dies, celebrating birthdays and religious ceremonies, arranging for organ donation. You know, these are things that are very doable and can really make a difference.
Yeah, it again, it reminds us of how high touch sometimes is far more important than high tech. And we've certainly gone way overboard on the high tech, and particularly in, in the ICU. This is just an opportunity to put a plug in here. The University of California has five medical schools, and they've collaborated. Actually, they've collaborated very rarely. But one of the things that they've collaborated on is an online end-of-life course that talks about pain management. And I oversaw that project. The course itself is free. It's 12 hours of CME credit. But you can find it at UCSF if you Google UCSF and CME, and it uses lots of videos and lots of demonstrations. And anyways, Mark, thanks a lot. That was a very useful poem on three very important questions.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Talk to you in a week.
All right,
bye bye.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.